Our reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 26 to 39. And if you want to open the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1038. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them their permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people in the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father God, please speak to us now through your word. Father, help us understand what this passage is saying and what it means for us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We live in a world in which evil's presence is evident all around us. Every day on the news we hear of awful things that people get involved in, awful things that people do to one another. Just the other day, a mum at Jumping Beans saw a news item on her phone that made her say to another leader, "You know, just what's happening in our world?" Evil's presence is a fact of life. It degrades, it destroys, and it's scary. And technology, medicine, education, social policy, law enforcement, well, none of them can overcome it. The account of the demon-possessed man in our passage today is one of those shocking stories. Here is a man in the grip of evil's power, a man who cannot be helped by anyone and cannot help himself, and yet he encounters Jesus. Luke is in a section of his writing where he wants us to see the authority of Jesus. Last week we saw how Jesus calmed a storm just by speaking incredible authority. Well, how will he fare against the powers of evil? Well, let's take a look together. If you haven't turned up the passage in the Bible, it's found on page 1038 in the Pew Bibles. Firstly, let's note Jesus' power to transform, power to transform. After being terrified by the storm and then by Jesus who calmed the storm, while the disciples continued their journey across the Sea of Galilee to the Gerasenes, which was a Gentile territory. If the disciples thought that the end of their terror that day was over as they stepped off the boat. Well, they had another thing coming because they were wrong. They were met by a demon-possessed man. And from Luke's description of him, it must have been a terrifying sight. Excuse me. I mean, imagine the scene. They step off the boat and they hear a shriek as a wild and naked man runs towards them. In Mark's gospel, where we also get the story retold, get it in Matthew as well, but Mark tells us that he used to cut himself with stones so that his body would have been covered with scars and would have been bleeding. I mean, any attempt to have controlled this man in the past was met with frightening strength because he tore himself free even from chains that bound him. With all the cuts over him and festering wounds and living amongst the tombs and in solitary places for so long, he must have smelt terrible. I mean, this man was one scary mess of humiliated, isolated and degraded humanity. Why? What had led him to this point? Well, it's because Luke tells us that he was demon-possessed. In fact, we're told his name was Legion because many demons had gone into him. Now, Legion was the main division in the Roman army, which comprised of between 4,000 and 6,000 men. So this man has a huge number of evil spiritual forces controlling his life. We're not told what the disciples did, but you can imagine them scrambling to get back in the boat or frantically searching for sticks on the shore to defend themselves. But what about Jesus? What does he do? How does he fare against these 4,000 to 6,000 demons present in this terrifying man? Well, Jesus remains calm and in control. And the man falls at Jesus' feet. The legion of demons are rendered powerless before him and just left begging not to be ordered into the abyss, which is the final destination for Satan and his angels in the wider scriptures. That time of final judgment for the evil forces was still in the future. So Jesus ordered them to go into a herd of pigs who stampede down the hillside and drown in the lake. It visibly showed that the man had been set free from his powers, and it also showed what these powers always seek to do, which is to kill and destroy. Hence that man being in such a terrible state. But such is the power of Jesus at his command. In the word of Wesley's great hymn, Jesus the Name High Over All, at Jesus' command, devils fear and fly. That's what Wesley says, and that's exactly what happens here. So Jesus has complete authority over evil. And in his love and compassion, he delivered this man from the evil forces that had enslaved him. And notice then the complete transformation that happened to this man. Because when the townsfolk heard what had happened, they came to Jesus and they found the man no longer wild and uncontrollable, but sitting at Jesus' feet. They found him no longer stark naked, but dressed, clothed. No longer possessed, but in his right mind. You see, this is what Jesus does. He meets with people in all their brokenness and he transforms them in the most glorious and beautiful way. No matter what extent of evil has influenced our lives, Jesus has power to free us and transform us. You just need to come to Jesus. And we noted, as we noted last week, Jesus cares for you and me. And he wants to use his power to set us free from sin and evil that enslaves us. He wants to transform us into the people we were always made to be. The New Testament teaches that before coming to Christ, all of us were under the power of Satan. Not many were as conspicuously under the power of Satan in the way that Legion was, but under Satan's influence we all were. Paul says in Colossians 1, he says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, if we've come to Christ, a transformation has taken place in our lives. If we've not come to Christ, that is the transformation we all need. You know, Jesus went out of his way that day to find that man in the Gerasenes. He went out of his way to find him in all his mess in order to save him. And perhaps you're coming to church this morning to hear this passage and sermon is because Jesus has come to save you and transform you too. Will you reach out to him in faith today? Please speak to me afterwards if you'd like me to tell you more about how you can do that this morning. Well, we've seen the power of Jesus to transform, but notice secondly that Jesus transformed this man so that he could go and proclaim what Jesus had done for him. So power to transform, and secondly, transformed to proclaim. Having been wonderfully transformed by Jesus, it's understandable that this man from whom the demons had gone begged to go with Jesus. You see, he's now a devoted follower of him. He's now sitting at his feet, which we hear later on in Luke's gospel is exactly what Mary does in that passage of Mary and Martha, where Martha's busying herself and Mary is sitting at his feet, listening and learning. You see, this man is now eager to learn from Jesus, wanting to obey him and follow him wherever he leads. But Jesus denies his request to go with him. And instead, he sends the man back to his home to tell how much God has done for him, verse 39. Jesus was sending him back to his hometown as a missionary. And the man obeyed Jesus, and he told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. There's a story told of a Chinese farmer who came to a mission compound where a doctor removed the cataracts from his eyes. A few days later, the doctor looked out of his window and noticed the same man holding the end of a long rope. And in single file behind him, holding onto the rope, were several dozen blind people whom the farmer had rounded up and led for miles to the doctor who'd worked a miracle on his eyes. You see, when something wonderful has happened to you, you want others to experience the same thing. It's why the transforming power of Christ in a person's life will have such a profound effect on them. It will make them want to proclaim it from the rooftops. Well, how do we do that? How do we proclaim this transformation that has happened to us? Well, think how the man whom Jesus had delivered from the demons must have done it. Well, firstly, he just had to live out his transformed life for all to see. You see, the last time people saw him, he had been naked, violent, and scarily wild. But Jesus had changed him, and the transformation would have been obvious to all as he went about his daily life. Now, you may be thinking, but that's not me. I was never a naked, wild maniac. How can I show people the difference Jesus has made to my life? Well, it's through our attitudes, our words, and the way we behave. If, like our memory verse for the year calls us to do, we set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts, well, our words, our actions, and our behaviour will witness to Jesus, precisely because we live in a world that doesn't live under his lordship. So where we see those who are living under his lordship, that transformation will be evident. So we are to live out our transformed lives before others. But notice to whom in particular Jesus tells the man to go. He says, return home. Literally, return to your house and tell what God has done for you. In other words, go live and speak about Christ's transformation amongst your circle of influence. Your family, your friends, your colleagues at work, your interest groups, your community contacts, and tell them, says Jesus. Yeah, but they already know me, you say. That's exactly the point. Those unique contacts need to see your transformed life, and my unique contacts need to see mine. As we do, go about living out that transformed life before others, people will ask, as again our memory verse for the year explains. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So what are we to say to people? Well, we're to tell them how we came to know Jesus. We're to tell them what he's done for us. Each of our stories will obviously be unique in their details, but each will share similarities because it concerns the same person that we've met and has changed us. It'll be about Jesus, it'll be about who he is, and it'll be about his grace in our lives. Think what an amazing story this man freed from those demons had to share. No wonder he told all over the town what Jesus had done for him. Wouldn't it be amazing if we all left here this morning with this man's zeal and obedience to Jesus in our hearts? And we went from here willing to share our testimony with others in Horum so that all over the village people are hearing about the difference Jesus makes in people's lives. We never know how God will use our transformed lives and our witness to him. During the 80s and 90s, my parents acted as a host family for foreign students at an English language school in Eastbourne. And over the years, my parents perhaps hosted 40 to 50 students. Every day they would naturally speak to the students about Jesus over meals in the evenings. And the students would stay for a few months, sometimes longer. And having heard lots of English and also heard the gospel, they would then return back to their home countries. There was one young man from Japan whom I remember well. His name was Yukinari. But my parents endearingly named him Dustbin because he had an appetite like you've never seen. He was literally like a bottomless pit. He would just literally eat everything that my mum prepared. There was nothing ever left over, and she used to prepare big portions. My parents shared the gospel with Yukinari while he stayed with us, but at the time he wasn't particularly interested, and like others, he soon went back home, back to Japan. However, a few years later, my parents received a letter from Japan. It was from Yukinari, Dustbin. And in it, Yukinari explained how since being back in Japan, he'd gone through a very low period in his life, and he was at rock bottom. Then one day, while he was working in a restaurant cleaning the tables, an extraordinary thing happened. He went to empty some rubbish into a dustbin, and as he poured the rubbish into the bin, he caught sight of a note inside the bin that simply said, "Jesus loves you." And it suddenly brought back memories of England to him, and in Eastbourne, and the couple he used to call him Dustbin, and the couple that told him about the love of Jesus and how Jesus gave his life for him. And suddenly Yukinari realised that in spite of his difficulties, Jesus loved him, Yukinari, Dustbin. And when he got home that night from work, he wrote to my parents and told them what had happened. You never know how God will use your words of witness. So scatter what Jesus has done for you and scatter it liberally amongst the contacts you have. Finally, you may be thinking, but the people I know don't want to know Jesus. Well, neither did the people from Legion's town. You see, when they came and witnessed his transformation at Jesus' feet, you'd think they'd be full of praise and admiration for Jesus. You'd think they'd be full of celebration. Jesus had conquered the one who was unconquerable in their community. But we're told, verse 35, they were afraid. You see, they used to be scared of Legion, but now they were more frightened of Jesus. And they were so overcome with fear, verse 36 tells us they asked him to leave. Last week in the storm episode, we saw that there is a fear that may draw you to Jesus. The disciples were so scared in the boat, they go and wake Jesus. Their fear causes them to come to Jesus for help. And there's fears in our lives that draw us to Jesus, recognizing that we need his power. But there is also a fear that may drive you from Jesus. Sadly, some prefer to live their own comfortable lives rather than experience the transforming power of Jesus for themselves. And that's what the people of this town choose. Soberingly, Jesus grants their request and he gets into the boat and he leaves them. Verse 37. Only there's a sense in which he doesn't. Because instead of staying physically with them himself, he sends Legion back to them as an evangelist. And over time, Legion would be living evidence of the goodness and grace and transforming power of Jesus. Legion was going to be salt and light in the community that told Jesus to go away. And interestingly, Mark's gospel tells us that sometime later, Jesus went back to that same area. And guess what? Did the townsfolk come out and tell him to go away again? No. Instead, Jesus is met by 4,000 men, besides women and children, who turned up to hear him. And we're told they sat under his teaching for 3 days. I mean, what happened? What brought such an interest in drawing near to Jesus where previously there was only fear? Well, it seems that Legion the Evangelist had been doing his work. He'd gone around being salt and light and telling others what Jesus had done for him in that community. And over time, those hard and fearful hearts toward Jesus had begun to change. So don't worry if everyone you know isn't interested in Jesus. The man in our passage had a town to witness to who had told Jesus to clear off. We just need to follow his example. We just need to obey the Lord, to return home and live out our new lives in Christ, willingly sharing what Jesus has done for us as we get opportunities. And we need to trust Jesus for the results. We need to trust Jesus to use our witness for his glory. Because God cares for those that you and I live amongst. It's why he's placed you and me as his witnesses right amongst them. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the power of the Lord Jesus and his transforming work in our lives. Thank you for rescuing us from the dominion of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of your Son and his light and truth and grace. Father God, please help us to live out that transformation in our homes, amongst our unique contacts. And we pray, Lord, that you will use the weak efforts of our witness to you and your Son in the power of your Spirit to bring others to experience Jesus' power to transform and save too. And we ask this in his precious name. Amen.